Hi, I'm Rachel Abbott, and over the past 25 years, I've overcome disordered eating, and I've learned how to help others overcome their undesired eating behaviors too. In fact, I've created an entire health coaching practice that centers around empowering women to take control of their relationships with food. And here on the podcast, we discuss our favorite ways of doing just that. So if you'd like to feel empowered in the way you relate to food and learn about all different kinds of ways to do that, stick around. Hey guys, thanks for joining me today. I have been MIA for the past couple of weeks, and that is because I went on vacation with my family. My husband and I took our four kids to the beach, and it was amazing. So nice to get away. It's definitely different having little ones when you go to the beach. I have a six-month-old, we have two-year-old twins, and a nine-year-old. So the nine-year-old was super helpful. Thank goodness she was able to come with us and keep everybody else in line. But it was a great time. But I'm back again. And this week, I wanted to talk about a concept that blew my mind when I first learned about it. And it's the concept of self-compassion. And, you know, self-compassion sounds pretty intuitive, right? You just think of having compassion for yourself. But I think it's first to kind of define what self-compassion and compassion mean. So compassion is the act of empathizing with someone else's suffering, and then followed by the desire to alleviate that suffering. And I'm sure most of anyone who's listening to this knows exactly what compassion feels like, right? Like, especially as women, you know, it's easier, I think, for us to put ourselves in someone else's shoe and try and, you know, feel what they're feeling, that you know, to empathize with how they're feeling, try to understand where they're coming from. So self-compassion is compassion turned inwards. And that sounds simple, and you know, it is, but simple isn't always easy. And I'm guessing that if you're listening to this podcast and you're someone who's looking for help with, you know, eating behaviors, then, you know, self-compassion doesn't probably come easy for you. At least it definitely didn't for me. And it may not even be something you recognize in yourself as a problem or an issue. And if that's the case, then you're a lot like me when I first heard of self-compassion, and this will be mind-blowing for you. It was for me, at least, when I learned about it in my mid-20s. Now, probably like most of you, compassion for others, like I said, seems to come naturally. Like, I feel like it is easy for me to put myself in someone else's shoes and see, you know, try and understand what they're going through. But the concept of showing compassion toward myself had never even crossed my mind before I ran across the work of Dr. Kristen Neff. She's a Berkeley graduate and a professor at UT Austin. And in her research, Dr. Neff talks about the powerful benefits of being kind to ourselves during moments of suffering as a result of perceived flaws, failures, and shortcomings. And she asserts that comforting our own negative emotions, like we might comfort those of a friend, allows us to cope with those hardships of life without falling completely apart during the process. So I give this example in my course, Mastering Magnitude, but if you think about comforting a friend in distress, right? So say, for instance, you have your very best friend and she got fired for accidentally responding to like a company-wide email with a crude joke at her boss's expense. And she, you know, shares the news with you in frantic tears, and she's obviously very overwhelmed with emotional suffering. Think about how you might respond to her. So personally, I might say something like, I'm so sorry you're going through this. Losing a job is so tough, let alone the feeling that what led to the loss of your job was a mistake on your part. I know this pain might be unbearable right now, but I promise it won't last forever. Please know this is not a reflection of who you are as a person or as an employee. We all make mistakes, and we've all accidentally hit that reply all without meaning to. And I'm sure you can hear that in my response to this friend. You know, it's one of compassion, right? Like, I empathized with her suffering by telling her what I imagined she must be feeling. I put myself in her shoes and described to her the pain I imagined she was going through. I also attempted to alleviate her suffering, right, by offering her the encouragement of knowing that this feeling was only temporary and that the mistake she made, which led to the loss of her job, is something that tons of other people make so easily. If you think about the last time you messed up, right, or maybe the last time you felt inadequate for whatever reason, and it could be related to food or whatever, or just something in general, you know. Ask yourself, were you as kind to yourself in these moments as you would be to a friend in the same situation? And do you offer yourself words of compassion or comfort like you would a friend? Or, you know, did you respond with harsh criticism? And for me, the default is definitely to respond with harsh criticism. I'm not really sure why, but the first thoughts that come to mind, you know, when I'm feeling inadequate is thoughts of failure, right? Like my inner voice tends to cling to thoughts of self-judgment, self-loathing, and self-deprecation. And in my own experience, once I entertain those self-loathing thoughts, I get stuck in that never-ending cycle that rarely leads me anywhere other than down a path of more and more self-loathing. The messaging that occurs in our brain, in our mind, when we're in this cycle of self-criticism and self-loathing is often very hateful, right? Like, I'm sure you know, if you're someone who struggled with, shameful eating behaviors, I'm sure that a lot of your messaging to yourself has sounded a lot like mine, which was, you know, like, you're such a piece of shit. Like, why are you dealing with this? This problem is only for, you know, fill in the blank type of people, lazy people, fat people, obese people, sick people, whatever. You're so gross. You're disgusting. You're so pathetic. You know, just very hateful messaging, right? And if you think about it, you know, why is that our first response? Why is that hateful messaging so quick to kind of come to our brains? And it's likely, you know, to stop the behavior, to punish ourselves, to prove to others that we realize how badly we failed. And so we want to, you know, basically separate ourselves from our issue and just be like, ugh, like, that's not who I am. So let me prove to you that that's not who I am by being so hard on myself and so hateful, you know, in an effort to show you that the person who I actually am is complete opposite of that kind of thing. And we do it, we try to motivate ourselves by being so hateful and critical of the behavior that we're trying to overcome. And the thing is, if you look back at the times when you've been very self-critical, or maybe you've only ever been self-critical and self-compassion is completely, you know, a new concept for you. But if you look back at these instances when you've been so self-critical, you know, you have to ask yourself, has it gotten you the results that you've wanted? And if it has, like, let's say maybe scolding yourself has been effective in the past with stopping a binge, you'd have to assess and see, like, have these self-critical messages to yourself been able to fix the behavior permanently? And the answer is probably not. At least that's the case, you know, for me. And also, you know, what is the psychological cost of being so hateful, right? Like, you know, the self-critical messages, they only made the next binge worse for me. And that only increased self-criticism, which only led to more binging. And the cycle went on and on and on. And what's worse is that the self-critical messages, they didn't stop with just food. In fact, my brain got so fluent in the language of self-hate that it began to even deny compassion from others. Like, I would literally talk myself into believing that someone offering me words of compassion during a hard time must be faking it, because certainly I wasn't worthy of compassion. I mean, that's terrible, right? Like, so depressing. Perhaps it's because I had been stuck in these cycles, you know, for several years before discovering self-compassion, when I learned about what it was, and when I started practicing it, I mean, it changed my entire life. And so that's why I wanted to share about it today. Hopefully it can be as powerful for someone else as it was for me, or as it has been for me. So when I found the work of Dr. Kristin Neff, like I said, she's who I ran across, and I ran across her research on self-compassion, I came to the understanding that there's two lenses through which we view ourselves and others. You know, there's the lens of judgment, and then there's a lens of compassion. And probably for some evolutionary species preserving reason, the judgment lens seems like it takes precedence in most situations. Like, we make an assessment of a situation, and whether we realize it or not, we're asking ourselves questions to help us judge how we feel about it. So basically, the silent internal dialogue might sound something like, is this, you know, making me uncomfortable? Should I feel offended? How is everybody else reacting to the situation? You know, we're constantly making judgments, and it's, like I said, it's for evolutionary purposes. We want to survive, survival of the fittest, right? Say we see a homeless family on the side of the corner, and we notice myself saying like, oh, gross, like what a terrible, you know, example to set for your kids that begging for money is a legitimate option in life. And, you know, why might that thought be the first to come to mind? Well, it's a preservation mechanism. My brain is telling me, like, please do not ever let yourself get this desperate that you're on this, you know, side of the street begging for money or food. And the reason I share that example is that it's a real life example. Like, I literally have caught myself, this was several years ago, but I caught myself being super judgmental of this family that I saw on the side of the street begging for money. And I saw them all the time. And I was just really upset that they were out there exploiting their children, or that was my judgment, that they were exploiting their children, you know, in the hot sun and having them out there for hours at a time begging for money. And anyways, my point is the judgment lens, like I said, takes precedence. We judge before we have compassion. And I had judged this family. And when I realized how harshly I was judging them, I was able to shift my internal dialogue and be more compassionate about what was going on. In that compassionate moment, I made the decision. I actually called DSS and I requested that a social, you know, whatever, I don't know what exactly goes on, but I know that somebody checked in on them because it wasn't helpful, right, for me to be sitting there judging them and saying negative things about them. But it was helpful for me to put on my compassionate lens and just to look at the situation through a compassionate lens. And, you know, I had to ask myself, what could I do to alleviate some of the suffering that these people are going through? Did it help? I have no idea. But it's certainly more helpful than judging them. And so I'd like to propose to you that the same is true for us. You know, it's not helpful, which is crazy because it's the first thing that comes to mind when we're ashamed of our eating behaviors is to judge ourselves and to be harsh. But it's not helpful, you know? So that's where self-compassion is. Self-compassion gives us an alternative to that default self-criticism that we experience when we're deep in our shame for our eating behaviors. And according to Dr. Kristen Neff, self-compassion is characterized by three components, and those components include kindness, common humanity, and mindfulness. The kindness piece of self-compassion, it just means that we are moved emotionally by our own pain, and we stop and we say, this is really hard right now. What I'm going through is really tough, and what can I do for myself in this moment with this situation? So in an example of like binge eating, I might stop to say something like, you know, this is really hard. This guilt and shame and embarrassment that I'm feeling right now after binging all of this food is really hard to feel. Like, what could I do for myself in this moment? And then I might come up with some actual things that I could do to soothe my shame, right? Like I could take a nap or journal or read or do whatever, like I determine in that moment feels soothing. Then the second component, according to Dr. Neff, the acknowledging common humanity piece. So that plays a critical role in self-compassion because often when we feel inadequate, that feeling is further reinforced by our inner dialogue that irrationally tells us that our own failure is unique and that other people's failures like just aren't as bad as ours. So for example, like I used to attend OA meetings, right? Like Overeaters Anonymous. And when other women would discuss their binge eating struggles or whatnot, I remember thinking like, well, their problem isn't as bad as mine, or they're already skinny, so it's not as big of a deal. And that effectively separated me from them and their stories. And so I couldn't benefit from their stories. I separated myself to the point where I just wasn't open to feeling compassion from them. And I wasn't really open to help, to being helped for, you know, what my eating disorders were at the time. You know, looking back, I can clearly see how ridiculous that thought process is. I mean, it was far-fetched to ever think that I was going to run into a woman with my exact same binge eating issues who grew up under the same exact circumstances around food and had experienced the exact same situation I had experienced, which led to my binge eating as a coping mechanism or, you know, as a soothing technique for hard situations. But for some reason, we tend to isolate ourselves from others when it comes to processing our own suffering. And it just, it makes us feel like we're the only person in the world suffering in that way. And that disconnection is a huge disservice when it comes to comforting our own pain. So that's why, you know, common humanity and acknowledging this connection to others who are suffering in some way, in the same way as us, is a critical part of the self-compassion process. Now, the mindfulness piece of self-compassion, that is simply, you know, just acknowledging that we are in fact suffering. And while that seems like an obvious step in providing ourselves compassion, it really tends to be overlooked when we're deep in our pain. So like if you think about the last time maybe you were ashamed for, you know, a food behavior that you have, like maybe you ate too much or you didn't and you ate food even though you weren't enjoying it, whatever the case may be. You might recognize, you know, the need to give yourself compassion for the behavior you're ashamed of, right? Like you might say, it's okay that you binged. It's okay that I binged, but it's not the end of the world. You know, there's always tomorrow or whatever. And giving yourself compassion for the shame you're feeling and for the judgment that you're projecting, which makes you feel ashamed, that piece is typically overlooked. At least it has been for me. So the mindfulness allows us to recognize that our thoughts and emotions are just that, just thoughts and emotions. And in doing that, we can clearly evaluate our situation from a more grounded perspective. Say, for example, like I've, you know, just binged and, you know, and I'm having those very hateful thoughts. So instead, instead of feeding into those hateful thoughts, I can be mindful in that instance. And I can say something like, wow, the shame that I'm feeling because of eating, you know, all that cake or whatever is so overwhelming. Shame is a really hard emotion to feel. And I'm so glad that shame is just a feeling and not a part of my being. And since feelings don't last forever, this shame won't be so heavy in just a little while. So, you know, hopefully you could see how different that is than attaching myself to those thoughts of shame and hate that first come up after an unwanted eating behavior. Now, while understanding all of these components is great, putting it into practice isn't easy, right? You know, it's kind of difficult to like stop and think like, oh, I need to incorporate those three components into what I'm feeling right now or whatever. So another thing that Dr. Kristen Neff offers, and by the way, I totally recommend checking out her website. It's selfcompassion.org. The book that I read initially, I think it was her first book, is called Self-Compassion. She has another newer book called Fierce Self-Compassion, which sounds really great. I heard a podcast episode that she was featured in recently, and she talks about her book and it sounds amazing. She's an amazing researcher. I highly recommend looking into her and her work. So like I said, self-compassion, knowing all the components is great, but knowing how to put it into practice is even better. And so one of my favorite mantras that Dr. Kristen Neff teaches, I'm not sure if it has like a particular name, but the mantra goes like this. It says, this is a moment of suffering, and that's the mindfulness piece. Suffering is a part of the human experience. That's the common humanity piece. May I be kind to myself in this moment. And that's the kindness piece. So let me just say it again without the titles next to it. The mantra goes like this. This is a moment of suffering. Suffering is a part of the human experience. And may I be kind to myself in this moment. And when you first start using this mantra, I find it super helpful to write out the thoughts that are going through your mind. You know, if you have time, like obviously if you're in public, you can't just like be like, excuse me, guys, let me excuse myself for 25 minutes while I go journal on my phone or whatever. But writing out each line, this is a moment of suffering, like, you know, and then writing out what you're suffering from, what is so hard to feel, what's going on. And then suffering is a part of the human experience, you know, relating yourself to other people who are also suffering in the same way that you're suffering. And then may I be kind to myself in this moment, and this, you know, writing out the things you can do in this moment to soothe that pain and that suffering that you're going through. I'm never going to not tell you to journal. Journaling is just too powerful of a tool to let go to waste. So yes, that is the mantra. I recommend practicing it and journaling through it. And as powerful as a tool as that mantra is in and of itself, there's another step that you can do that makes it even more powerful. And that is to add another like common humanity piece. And so at the end of my mantra, I like to take a minute or a moment rather and consider all the other humans that are suffering from the same or similar suffering to mind. And then I send them compassion for the suffering that they are walking through too. And you can do this one of several ways, but I like to just add another line to the mantra. And this is, you know, from Dr. Kristen Neff as well. And the line is, may you be happy, may you be free from suffering. And I mean, I really can't even explain why this is so shifting for me, but it is. You know, giving compassion to strangers that I don't know who are across the globe and are feeling the same shame and guilt for their binge eating too, has just been so powerful in shifting the shame and guilt within me. And I think it's like, you know, how we acknowledge that it's easier to show compassion for a friend than it is ourselves, you know, so actively showing compassion for others who are also suffering from the same shame. For some reason, I feel like it just inspires us to really soak in that compassion that we are offering these other humans. So that's really it. That's self-compassion in a nutshell. I hope I did it justice, because it really is just a life-changing practice. It has been for me when it comes to overcoming unwanted eating behaviors. So thank you guys for sticking with me through that. Hopefully it made sense. If you have any questions, feel free to message me. I'm on Instagram and TikTok, and you can email me at magnitudehealthcoaching@gmail.com. And I look forward to hearing from you guys. Thank you.